I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Congratulations on getting through your 9-to-5. Thank you so much for listening. It is The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app. We're going to do something a little bit different today because today is a little bit different kind of day. So today is the official 15-year anniversary of the hiring of Dayton Moore as general manager of the Kansas City Royals. So Dayton did one interview today. It was on 610 Sports Radio. We will replay that for you here coming up in about 5 to 10 minutes. So if you want to hear Dayton Moore, there's not any questions about the present day modern Kansas City Royals. It is about his 15-year career here in Kansas City. And I think it's pretty safe to say we're at the point that Dayton can be the general manager of the Royals for as long as he wants to be the general manager. Few people get to dictate their terms at their profession at the level that Dayton Moore can. So we'll hear from him about the 15-year run that he has gone on. And it's funny because I was thinking about Dayton Moore in a very different way earlier today. So I don't know if you guys heard this or not, but Jim Fossil, head coach of the New York Giants back when they went to the Super Bowl back in 2000, he passed away. So rest in peace to him, condolences to his family. So if you remember, Jim Fossil made this guarantee back in 1999 about the Giants.
So if you got the crosshairs, you got the laser, you can put it right on my chest, I'll take full responsibility. I'm raising the stakes right now. This is a poker game. I'm shoving my chips to the middle of the table. I'm raising the ante. Anybody wants in, get in. Anybody wants out, get out. Okay? This team is going to the playoffs.
So if you remember, back in 1999, Jim Fossil made that guarantee. The Giants were 7-4 at the time and coming off a loss. The Giants then did not lose another game the rest of the season until the Super Bowl, where they lost to the Baltimore Ravens. And I was thinking about Dayton Moore in this context today as we were talking about his 15-year anniversary of being hired as a general manager. What the Royals accomplished in 14 and 15 is unlike any other major American sports team over the last 25 years. Whether you're talking NBA, NFL, Major League Baseball, college football, we were just talking about with Bink, or college basketball. Sure, we've seen some teams, I would say, similar to the Royals get to a championship. We saw Butler get to back-to-back Final Fours and or the championship game. We've seen the Tampa Bay Rays go to a World Series and lose. We saw the Cleveland Indians a couple of years ago go to a World Series and lose. So it's not like the Royals are unique in going to a championship. But to break through is unlike anything that we've seen, I would say, in the last 25 years. Rob, the last team that we've seen do something close to what the Royals did, are we talking about the Cincinnati Reds, or are we talking about that size market and accomplishing what they accomplished? If you look at the last 20 World Series winners and their market and the city, outside of St. Louis, we're talking about the 12 biggest cities in this country. We're talking about Houston, Chicago, San Francisco, New York. We're talking about the big cities in this country. The fact that the Royals did it in the 35th largest city in the country, and we're talking about one of the smallest markets in their profession, is mind-blowing. That's not the way the NBA works. The NBA is not set up in a way in which Oklahoma City is winning a championship. Unless they get super lucky. I'm not saying the Royals got super lucky, but the Royals developed their talent and or use their talent to go acquire players they never would have been able to acquire in free agency. They don't get James Shields likely in free agency. They don't get Johnny Cueto likely in free agency or Ben Zobrist in free agency. But they use their assets, after drafting their own talent to use it to eventually get themselves over the hump. It's something that even in their own sport and profession is incredibly unique. We saw very good small market, mid-market teams over the last 20 years in Major League Baseball. The Minnesota Twins had a great 5-6 year run. The Oakland A's, they were so good they made a movie about how good they were. The Tampa Bay Rays, they've gone to a World Series since then and they've acquired talent. But none of those teams were able to eventually break through. So a lot of the legacy of Dayton Moore is tied up into the fact that he was able to do something that really no other person has been able to do in American sports in the last 25 years. We can talk about his personality and what he stands for and his beliefs and his convictions. Dayton Moore's legacy will always be, I did something that nobody else can match. Right now, for the most part, what we're seeing from Mahomes, we can point to, Tom did this. Peyton did this. Now, we're talking about the elite class of quarterback, but there is at least some comparable person. Find the general manager in any of the professional American sports that have done what Dayton Moore's done. You can't. That person just doesn't exist. So that to me is what today really is a highlight of. Has it always been perfect? Absolutely not. Did the run maybe take a little bit longer than we had wanted? Would Dayton maybe have got the same leash in another organization for the first, 6 years of here? Hasn't really been or wasn't a whole lot of winning at that point. But once it eventually got going and he got it to a place in which he felt really comfortable, you could see the tide starting to turn in 2012 at the All-Star game. And they rode that wave for 5 years. And if you look at the team they're building right now, they're building something similar. I don't know if it's going to have the same oomph. I don't know if they're going to win at nearly the pace that they just won at in 13, 14, and 15. But this team, I think, is going to finish with a winning record. They're going to win between 79 and 85 games this year. That's a huge step forward from the 59 games that they won back in 2019. The Royals are turning things around. And with guys like Jackson Kowar, albeit not a good start yesterday, with guys like Daniel Lynch, with Asa Lacy, with Bobby Witt Jr. coming, there is no reason to think that Dayton can't put himself in a position again to do something that very few people in his sport have accomplished. So coming up in a little bit, we'll hear from Dayton Moore. But first, let's get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City.
Okay, now, from the beginning.
And now, the moment you've all been waiting for.
Check it out.
The top stories of the day, every day at 5 o'clock. The hits.
Cue it up.
One.
Let's go.
Well, the top story today in Kansas City does involve the Kansas City Royals, as yesterday, one of their heralded prospects, Jackson Kowar, took the mound for his debut, and he did not have a great debut. Carrington, at what point do we need to become concerned as Royals fans? The Royals keep bringing up heralded prospects, and they continue to struggle in their debuts.
I'm not going to overreact to one start. You showed me something really interesting today that said that right now we are seeing the largest gap between the minor leagues and the major leagues, that the guys who were typically 4A players that have sort of played themselves out of AAA baseball, now when they make that transition to the major leagues, it's a bigger gap and the learning curve is going to be a little bit more steep. So I think the Royals are in a little bit of a unique situation based on the times and us not really having minor league baseball last year and this year, it getting off to such a slow start and we haven't seen a whole lot of games. So I'm not going to put a whole lot of stock into Daniel Lynch. We have seen 4 starts. Like, I trust Baseball America. We were having a conversation earlier about recruiting. Like, Rivals doesn't miss all that often. Are they perfect? No. But if you look at the top 25 kids in college football and college basketball, for the most part, those are the stars of the league, or they turn into stars of the league. So I trust Baseball America. So if they're telling me that Jackson Kowar is a top 25 prospect, they're telling me that Daniel Lynch is a top 15 prospect, I'm going to side with them that over time, we'll see that talent develop.
Two.
Earlier today, it officially became official. We now have a date set. The border war will renew between Kansas and Missouri this upcoming December on December 11th in Lawrence, Kansas. C-Dot, you stoked to watch the Tigers get beat on that day?
They're not going to lose. What are we talking about? What are we talking about? Next hit. I'm not even going to entertain that foolishness.
Three.
You thought you were going to sneak that by me? You thought you were going to throw a 91-mile-an-hour fastball and I was going to miss?
I thought it was clever.
You're not losing.
Well, a little breaking
net. Who was the last team to go into Allen and win?
Texas last year?
Oh, yeah, they did. They smoked Kansas, too.
Gave them absolute beats.
I forgot that happened. I basically forgot all of college basketball's regular season last year. That's like it never happened.
I mean, most people did, including college basketball fans.
It's like it
didn't happen.
Like, once you said I knew it happened, but yeah, it's like it never happened.
I think they lost the year before that against Oklahoma State, too, and Allen. They lose in Allen more than you think. Well, a little breaking news in the NBA, so we'll make our final hit that. Nuggets center/power forward Nikola Jokic has been named the MVP of the NBA. Carrington, any problem with Jokic being your MVP?
I wouldn't have voted for Jokic to win NBA MVP. If I had an NBA MVP ballot, and I don't know why I don't have one. I don't have a ballot for any of these things. Doesn't make any sense. I would have voted Steph Curry number one, Chris Paul two. I actually would have voted Joel Embiid three, and I would have voted Nikola Jokic four if I had had an MVP vote this year. I think Steph was by far and away the best player in the league. I think we are seeing the importance that Chris Paul has to his team. I just think Embiid was better than Jokic was this season. I would have voted for those three ahead of Nikola Jokic this year. I do think this was a pretty strong year where I know you would have voted for Jokic, but if they had given it to Chris Paul, I don't really know how people could have argued it. Like, we are seeing the value of Chris Paul. Coming up in a little bit, we'll play what Dayton Moore had to say earlier today. Text line 913-576-7610. Dayton has had three winning seasons in 15 years. How many GMs keep their job following a championship with the three worst seasons in franchise history? I do think we have to keep what Dayton accomplished in mind and also where he did it at. I don't know if you guys know this or not, and it's kind of comparable. Frank Martin has not been good since he's left K-State. Like, I'm sure you guys love Frank Martin and think he's a great coach. And Frank Martin has done terrible at South Carolina. But you know what he did? They went to the Final Four at South Carolina. So you know what that means? It don't matter how bad he is. It doesn't matter. You know why? Because if you go to a Final Four at South Carolina, they never firing you. Because nobody goes to the Final Four at South Carolina. You want to know what happens if you run the Kansas City Royals? You don't win. We have, 30 years of data to suggest with all the managers and different general managers they've tried to trot out there. You are not winning if that happens. It's that simple. So the fact that he went to the World Series twice and they won it, he will be the general manager for as long as he wants to be it. This season could completely tank. They ain't firing them. Some people, once you do a thing at a certain place, you will have as much job security as you want. And that's where Dayton Moore is. Dayton Moore has had the opportunity to leave and quote-unquote get a better, easier job. He's been asked to GM the Braves, at least three times since he's been here? At least three times. And he keeps saying no. He's got a really good gig going on. A really good gig going on here in Kansas City. So earlier today, Dayton Moore was on with Cody and Gold. Today is the 15-year anniversary of Dayton Moore being hired as the general manager of the Kansas City Royals. Their conversation started with, can you believe that it's been 15 years that Dayton's been in Kansas City?
Well, it's been an amazing journey, that's for sure. And, we're just so blessed to be able to raise our children and grow our family, in this community. And, it's been a great ride, just getting to know so many different people throughout the different aspects of our city and our region and get involved in so many ways. And so it's gone by pretty fast, truthfully.
Dayton, when you take that kind of job, like that's a big job. Do you think to yourself, all right, I'm going to do this forever, or I want to be the president of a team after that? Or do you try to think bigger picture with your life, or do you just take that job thinking, I hope to get to do this job as long as humanly possible?
Well, I never wanted to be a general manager. And, the first two opportunities I had to interview, I chose to not proceed. I loved working in scouting and player development. That's what I wanted to do. I didn't see myself as a baseball executive, and it really kind of took some seeking advice of older, wiser baseball people, and they said, look, if you become a general manager, you can do it the way you want to do it. And if you have the right owner, you don't have to be tied to a desk. You can still, you know, interact throughout, the country, watching players play, setting in homes, spreading the seed of baseball and all that's good about our game, spend time in the minor leagues. I mean, you can craft the job the way you desire. And, I'm not a very good administrator. I truthfully wouldn't have came to Kansas City if I didn't have great affection for Mr. Glass and Dean Taylor, willingness to leave Cincinnati and be our assistant general manager, because I needed somebody like Dean Taylor who knew all the rules and was a terrific administrator and could really provide me with a lot of help. And we just wanted to do baseball every single day and build an organization that people would be proud of, people would be proud to work in and to grow as professionals and to do good in the community. And because I think every major league team has a responsibility to grow the game, set the right example of what baseball and softball should look like in their community, in their region, and in this country. And so we've taken that responsibility, very, very highly.
Expectation versus reality. You interview for a job, they tell you what the job's going to be, you think you know what the job's going to be, and then you actually do the job. How different was what you expected you were walking into organizationally, not just from ownership, but from where your players were, where your minor league system was, to what the actual reality was? Was it more work, less work, the same amount of work as you were expecting? Just how that transition initially happened for you 15 years ago?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think of a lot of things when you ask that. First of all, when I decided to interview with David Glass and Dan Glass, I had no intention of taking the position. And there was no way I was going to leave the Atlanta Braves. There was a lot of talk that I was part of a succession plan there in Atlanta, which, I believe was probably the case. And our family was thriving there. I loved who I worked with. I loved all of our players, all the coaches, the instructors, the scouts. And, I'd grown up as an area scout and held a lot of different positions in that organization, from international director, professional director, assistant scouting director, farm director, player personnel, assistant GM. And so I kind of went through the training. And so there was no reason to leave. And then when I decided to meet with Mr. Glass, just really out of respect, one of the most influential and successful businessmen in the history of our country, somebody that I knew was a very good man from all of the information that I had. And I just wanted to meet with him out of respect. He was going to fly into Atlanta, and it's 30 minutes from the ballpark. And so I went and met with him, again, just out of respect. And maybe I could, give him some insight or some things that might help him in scouting and player development. And as we began to talk, he opened up to me and he talked about how much he wanted to win for the fans and how the Kansas City Royals fans deserved better. And he talked about, the legacy of Mr. K and the importance of this team to his family. And I began pulling for him. I identified with him and I connected with his heart. And for the first time, I said, maybe this is something we ought to look at. And it took me about 10 days to kind of figure it out. We decided to come to Kansas City and accept the challenge, and I'm so thankful, that we did. But, that's really, why we came here. I wanted to see Mr. Glass do well, and I thought it would be an amazing challenge. There's no way to prepare for these jobs no matter who your mentors are, no matter how much success you've had, you've got to go do them. And I was overwhelmed, really, the first 3 years. As much as I had an understanding of scouting and player development, it's still very difficult to execute. And in our market, to build from within, it was going to take a lot of time. It's not easy dealing with the criticism when you've never dealt with it at all. It's difficult under the best of circumstances. And so that was challenging as well. I'm thankful for my faith, which I was able to lean on a great deal. I'm thankful to have a wife in Marianne who is extremely supportive and encouraging along the way. Just an unbelievable partner in life that really kept me going, and so many people I worked with, you know, J.J. Piccolo and Lonnie Goldberg and Renee Francisco and Dean Taylor and Gene Watson and Donnie Williams and Mike Arbuckle. And I mean, I can go on with, you know, Jin Wong and Scott Sharp, of course, who are really kind of the rock solid people in that front office, and Emily Penning. And I mean, just so many people that I've been blessed to work with that are positive, uplifting people that, you know, we shared a vision together. But there was times when, you know, I felt that we bought too big of a house because, you know, I wasn't sure we were going to be able to sell it. And we bought it at a point in time when the market was at its highest level. And so, yeah, I went through a lot of those ups and downs. But baseball was the common theme that kept us going because we just dove into building the best organization that we could. And we knew you know, John Schuerholz told me this. He said, look, there's no doubt you'll build a very strong farm system. He said, you were part of that here. You will do that in Kansas City. But he said, don't ever underestimate the importance of winning games at the major league level. And you're going to need to do your best to be as competitive as possible while you're building that minor league system. And so we were focused on that as well, and trying to put the best team we can on the field. We probably spent more money than we should have at the major league payroll, on the major league payroll at times. But, you know, I knew that we needed to try to put a competitive team on the field and give our fans hope. And if we would have probably not spent as much money early and put those resources in other places, maybe we could have won a little quicker. You know, at the major league level. But, you know, that's, again, we were focused on trying to do both. And I don't regret it, but, you know, maybe we would have looked at it a little differently just because the economics of baseball were so different, you know, during, and they still are today. I mean, there's just a lot of, you know, just, it's not as balanced as you'd like in some areas, regardless of how anybody views it, because of, you know, what I just said.
Speaking of Royals general manager Dayton Moore here on the 15th anniversary since he had started the job, I do wonder, Dayton, you mentioned the criticism and some of the stuff that come with the job right in the beginning. Do you find yourself, so like as fans, as commentators, we find ourselves like, all right, here's what the Royals have done, and here's how a similarly sized market, let's say the Rays, handle their business or stay that way. You've talked a lot about wanting to have a yearly competitor. The second time around, you wanted the rebuild to be about, you know, having a team that was good for a decade or more. Do you find yourself comparing yourself to other organizations similarly to like maybe we do? Or is it, you know, more about how you guys handle your business and you feel like your process will work?
Well, that's another good question. I mean, do we pay attention and study success? Of course. Do we study failure? Absolutely. And, you know, every market's different. You know, we've chosen transactional as some markets. We probably should be more transactional, you know, going forward. And when you look at some of those other small market teams, that's what they're constantly doing. But I've always felt that our community wants to connect with players, and they enjoy their stories, the ups and the downs, and they get involved with them, and they're passionate about them, and they pull for them. What I've learned truthfully is in life, there's people are looking at all of us in one of two ways. They're looking at us with a critical eye or a critical spirit. And thank God for those people that are looking at us with a critical eye, because they help us uncover blind spots. They mold us, they shape us, they speak truth into our lives. And there's some people that are looking at us with a critical spirit, and those people are probably not going to change one way or the other. You know, those are the person, when you say the sky is blue, they say, no, it's not. You say, you know, the grass is green, no, it's not. You can just never please those types of people. And I've learned to just give that away and not take those types of things personal. But, you know, I have a great respect, and I've learned to respect many people in the media, especially our Kansas City media, because they're good-hearted people. They're just trying to do their job, and they're articulating things, and there should be debate in sports, and we can have, that's what makes sports fun. We talk about different things, but what I've always felt that if you or anybody had the same information that I had about a particular drafted player we're going to draft, a deal we're going to make, a free agent we're going to acquire, and you put it in the context of where we are, what we can do financially, you know, all the different ways that we evaluate players, you would all probably do the same thing in most cases. And so, and again, you can only take advantage of players that are available to you. There's an economic evaluation. There's a medical evaluation. There's a traditional scouting evaluation that must take place. There's an analytical evaluation that must take place. And then obviously there's a character evaluation that must take place. And so the character evaluation is the most important thing for me, and always has, because, again, I value the chemistry of a baseball team, and I value the importance of modeling behavior that you want seen in future young people and in our community. And so I've never, ever stopped looking at this game from the eyes of my youth. And that's why it was really important for us to try to bring Eric Hosmer back. Because, and it may not have made great sense for us economically with where we are, but what I've realized is, you know, after the 2017 season, if you asked the majority of our fans between, you know, the ages of, you know, 7 and 11 or 7 and 12, the young people, they wouldn't even know what our record was, but they know who Eric Hosmer is. They know who Salvador Perez is. And it's important to have those types of players and people on the field in your community. Mike Moustakas, Lorenzo, I mean, all those guys that we, you know, we tried to bring back, but just, you know, and economically, it probably didn't make sense for us to enter into negotiations with those guys at that particular time. And I've always felt that, you know, if we would have won the World Series in 14 and lost in 15, you know, we probably would have done what smart baseball people would say to do, and that's, you know, unload a lot of those players, trade them, rebuild your farm system, put yourself in a position to rebuild quicker. Maybe we wouldn't have had the opportunity to sign Alex Gordon, and, you know, we just all of a sudden, you know, regroup and move forward. And that's what a lot of organizations would have done in our market size. You know that, and I know that. But I just felt like it wasn't the right thing to do, even after winning in 15. And a lot of people said, do it. Do it anyway. And a lot of people that I sought counsel from around the league, not many in our organization, because we really felt that we could continue to win in 16 and 17. And I think we should have, truthfully. 16, we didn't stay healthy. 17, you know, we made some moves around the trade deadline that I thought made a lot of sense. I really felt would work, and it just didn't. I mean, getting Melky Cabrera, just getting some fresh arms in the bullpen. The team was performing very, very well. Guys were having great years. They were hungry. And when we did those deals, I think we had a game and a half lead in the first wild card. It only might have been a half game, or maybe a game or game and a half out the first place in the division. So it just didn't work. But anyway.
Dayton, as far as timeline now, this go around, I mean, four of the five 2018 draft picks already making starts for you. How do you feel about this plan, this go around, and how close you guys are?
Well, I really like the talent that we have. I like the makeup of our group. Lonnie Goldberg and our scouting staff, and JJ and Paul Gibson, and all of our development people. Chino Cotahia, Eddie Rodriguez, all of our managers. I mean, we've got consistency with our minor league managers and Polberg and Scotty Foreman. And these guys do an amazing job. And we're developing better than we ever have at all levels. I mean, Alex Zumwalt has done to kind of reshape our hitting approach, not only from the, you know, from the Dominican Summer League all the way up, you know, to AAA. I mean, he's done an amazing job. And so I feel great about where we are in scouting and player development, better than I ever have, truthfully. And so, you know, I like where our players are. There's going to be ups and downs with these young pitchers. We know that. We've got to figure out how to continue to make this a pitching factory for us going forward. It's really the only way you're going to tilt the field in your favor, especially in our market, is to have as much or more pitching than anybody else. And so, you know, that's what we're really, really focused on. But, you know, Mike Matheny is an incredible competitor. He's very detailed. He's determined. He's tough. We get Mike Matheny and this coaching staff players, they're going to win. There's no doubt in my mind.
That was Dayton Moore from earlier today on Cody and Gold. Today is the 15-year anniversary of Dayton Moore being hired as the general manager for the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, we have seen Dayton do something that no other American general manager, leader of a team, has been able to do in the last 25 and 30 years, and that's take a market like Kansas City and win the ultimate prize, which is a championship. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the brand new Odyssey app.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This is your home for Royals baseball. 610 Sports Radio.
Check out the new First National Bank of Omaha location in Sonoma Plaza in Lenexa. Get the text code at the new location to enter to win the ultimate backyard refresh. One winner will be selected at random to win $1,000 gift cards to Nebraska Furniture Mart for patio furniture plus a grill. And you'll also get $250 in a grocery store gift card for grilling supplies. You can enter now through Sunday, June 13th. I haven't kept up with this story maybe as much as I should because I didn't really think there was any chance we were going to talk about this on the radio. We probably still won't really talk about it that much on the radio. But I don't know if you've been keeping up with this about the foreign substances on the baseball, and they've been kind of, they're going to start doing like random checks and all of this kind of stuff, right? So they asked Garrett Cole about it. Is Garrett Cole kind of friend of the show?
When did we ever have
Trevor Bauer?
We had Trevor Bauer on once.
They're basically the same person.
No, they're not.
So Gerrit Cole today met with the media, and they asked him, basically, had he cheated? He didn't really give a no answer to, yeah, I've been using these illegal substances on the ball. I mean, they can start checking me, but I've been using them. Why is this story not a bigger deal? Like, baseball players are just openly admitting that they've been using illegal substances to try to gain an advantage, and we've just accepted that's just part of baseball? Is that what it is? Like, they've been using this stuff in baseball for so long, we're just cool with it? Is that what's going on, Rob?
I can't explain it to you, because I remember this exactly happened. I was Monday. Cody was on, and they had Whit Merrifield show on Cody and Gold. And Cody came to me like he always does, and he says, hey, here are some cuts from the thing if you want to, you know, build a segment out of. And he's like, there's a really good answer on foreign substance in baseball. I'm like, all right, cool. So I did some research on it, because I don't follow baseball the way Cody does, so I did some research on it. And I was like, this seems like a big deal, but if we talk about it, people are going to be like, ho-hum, because no one else on earth is talking about it. So maybe it's our fault, maybe it's baseball's fault, but it seems like the idea of putting sticky substances on the baseball to a given advantage to the pitcher would be something we talk about, right?
I'm now looking at it here. Gerrit Cole and Trevor Bauer are pretty close to the same person. Now that I'm sitting here looking at it, they're pretty close. I ain't saying they're exactly the same person. They're kind of the same person, though.
They both went to UCLA. That's kind of where it ends.
Yeah, look at their numbers, though. They're almost comparable to one another.
One was what? Cleveland, Cincinnati, L.A. The other was Pittsburgh to, where'd he go before? Pittsburgh, somewhere in New York. I mean, I don't think they ever overlapped outside of UCLA.
Yeah, I'm sitting here looking at it, and they're about the same individual. I can't believe that you scoffed so much when I got them mixed up, and I'm sitting here looking at them, and I'm like, yeah, they're kind of the same individual. Coming up in a little bit, we'll get into before we go. There's a little NBA news that I do want to touch on today. Nikola Jokic actually won NBA MVP. Congratulations to him. He is the most valuable player in the National Basketball Association. Hud is one of my favorite people in the world. I think if you listen to the show for any amount of time, you know that is the case. I love Hud with all of my heart. But this isn't information that I can just let blow past.
When the team's on the road, like the Royals are right now, and
yeah,
on the West Coast, and it's 10:45 in Kansas City, and we're broadcasting from pitch black Kauffman Stadium.
That's right. It's dark.
I would take a Minsky's pizza, wouldn't you?
I would, buddy. It would be delicious. Let's get one. I like their pineapple special with some tomatoes and avocados on it.
What?
Yeah, that was on my...
Pineapple, tomatoes, and avocado?
Delicious. I've been eating it for 3 days. The boys had it, and they had a lot left, and they didn't eat that cup. That was Jennifer's side of the pizza. And it's delicious, man.
Is that really a thing?
Yes. I don't know what they call it, but that's what's on it.
You know what? It just hit me. Hud is Fesco, and Kling is Ryan Lefebvre. If we listen to 20 hours a week of Fesco in the morning, I bet you that exact same scenario happens at least 3 or 4 times a week. Like, Ryan is someone who deals in words. Hud said something that even he had to just be like, what? That's what you eat? And then Hud was going on, yeah, man, it's delicious. And Lefebvre's like, huh? No. Now, tomorrow, we got to talk to Hud. Hud will be on the show tomorrow at 3 o'clock. This is something that has to be explained to me. I'm not here to judge people's food taste. We all like different things. But I am here to tell you whenever what you like is trash. I have determined that's my responsibility in life. I've taken that upon myself. I have been given a great power, and with that comes great responsibility. I can't just choose to only use it to make fun of Rob. I got an equal opportunity. So when Hud comes on the show tomorrow, Hud, come on now. This is the pizza that you eat? This pizza's terrible. You know that this pizza is terrible. I will say this, though, about Minsky's. And I think Minsky's is some good pizza. I like Minsky's. Pricey, though. It's pricey. Like, I didn't sign up to spend steak prices on a medium pizza. It's not what I signed up for. I'll never forget. Remember when they were, and they probably still do it. I haven't seen it in a while, but I'm sure they do this. So they try to get you with that limited time only. So they had that lobster pizza a couple of months ago, but before that, they had the Oklahoma Joe's pizza, Joe's KC pizza. So it was the Joe's sauce, it was the Joe's burn-ins, and it was a good pizza. I was like, you know, let me get one pizza, please. Woman said $36. And I was like, well, how much is it for a small or the medium? We don't have a small or medium. If you want the Joe's pizza, this is the price. And I was flabbergasted at all of this. You guys can afford that in this economy? A $36 pizza? A little bit overpriced. Good. But I don't need all that. Pizza ain't got to be fancy for me, bruh. It really don't got to be. Rob, you and I have had many a slice. I'm a simple two-topping pepperoni and sausage individual, man. I don't need much else, man. I genuinely don't need much else. Now, I will say, if I'm feeling exotic, if I'm feeling frisky, I'll go grilled chicken and pineapple. Yes, I said it. I'm going grilled cheese and pineapple if I'm feeling frisky. And it hits the spot every time. I'm not going to lie to you. It's something about that poultry, the way it mixes with that pineapple. Delicious.
I'm going to set aside your bad pizza take. I'm going to ask you a question I have never asked you before. Because that pizza take is trash. Because grilled chicken and pineapple, no. That's not even good if there wasn't on a pizza. Like, no one would be like, you know what's great with this grilled chicken we have at the cookout? Pineapple. That's never been a thought anyone's had. Are you a deep dish or thin crust guy? That's my question to you.
Deep dish.
Really?
Deep dish, yeah.
Like Chicago-style lasagna nastiness. You're into that?
Giordano's?
Yeah, no, I don't mess with that.
I love it. Anytime Giordano's is available. So I'll never forget when we went to Surprise, Arizona a couple years ago. You know that there's a Giordano's in Surprise. So
there
I guess
because that huge Chicago condenser. There's that Chicago bar, yeah.
The people that own it. So, man, I had Giordano's like three times in the 2 weeks I was there. I wasn't paying for it either. Oh, my goodness. There's a Giordano's in Vegas on the Strip. Oh, my goodness. Every time I'm in Vegas, I stop there. There's two food places I go to every time I'm in Vegas. Giordano's is one. And maybe some of you know this. So in downtown Vegas on Fremont Street, you know, the one that has the zip line over it. It's basically like a half mile of all of this stuff. There's this taco place on Fremont Street. I do not know the name of it. I just know exactly where it is and what it looks like. Every time I go to Vegas, I eat there. Those tacos are amazing. I've always wanted to go to that Heart Attack Grill. Has anybody been there before? 9135. You know what I'm talking about. If you've been to Vegas before and you've been on Fremont Street, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Every time I go to Fremont Street, it's always closed, though. I've never seen a person go in or out of that place. So I have no clue what it is. If I ever went there and it was open, I would happily go out there. But I've never, ever seen it be open before.
I know what you're talking about.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'm trying to see what they even serve. I just see it. I never go in. I'm just aware of its thing. I'm sure it's very unhealthy.
No, I know for a fact it's unhealthy.
I mean, their slogan is we've been fighting anorexia since 2005. So, I mean, they're going to have some big portions.
Now problematic.
Press John. Yeah, their website just includes a YouTube video. There's no, like, menu or anything.
Am I in the minority that I actually like hanging out more in downtown Vegas than I enjoy hanging out on the Strip?
No.
I like downtown Vegas. It's fun to me.
The Strip is great when it's like in doses. Fremont Street, you can just kind of, it's more relaxed. But like the Strip has like this weird undercurrent of like people dressed up and millionaire energy that I just don't fit with.
Yeah, it's just... Now, I love the Strip. Don't get me wrong. Like, you go there for the energy of the Strip. But if it's like 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, I much rather start to make my move down there. And then it's kind of like you can, like, bar hop a little bit. It's still got all the casino stuff that you want to do. Everything's just a little bit cheaper down there and just certainly more laid back and low key. I like Old Vegas. Back again tomorrow. Coming up on Thursday, I will not be here, though, because I will be in the mornings. Rob and I are making that trip to the mornings. I'm like, I've mentally started to get ready to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning. Like, I've mentally started it. It was tough to mentally get to that point, but I think I'm getting there. Like, today I practiced and I woke up at 6. Like, I practiced today. Well, now you can practice waking up, but I practiced. I appreciate you guys listening. Bink up next. It's The Drive.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.